Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
The federal health, heritage minister, Stephen Gilbeau, is determined to change the internet rules, communication rules, to put in place, as he describes them, and I'm paraphrasing here, more fair communication. Others say it's internet censorship. And according to BlackRock's reporter, when they were asked, when the Heritage Ministry, he's the Heritage Minister, of course, when they were asked in an inquiry of ministry communication in the Commons, the Heritage Ministry said, yeah, well, they weren't contacted by any member of the general public to support any first ever federal regulations of internet content. They're just doing that. Nobody asked them to, but they are just doing that. So let's get at this with David Fraser, one of Canada's leading internet technology and privacy lawyers. He's the author of the Canadian Privacy Law Blog. He's a partner at McInnes Cooper in Halifax. He's a guest on this program quite regularly. And David, thank you for joining us on your Twitter account at Privacy Lawyer. You wrote just 2 days ago, "In my experience, Ottawa-based regulators, bureaucrats, and politicians have little or no regard for charter rights and freedom of expression. Content moderation and takedown orders should only come from the courts." What's going on?
Yeah, so nice to chat right again. So this is part of a wider agenda of this particular government related to regulating the internet. And this is where they're focusing on what they perceive to be as harmful content. And so certainly there have been issues, and there's no doubt about it, with respect to hate speech, with respect to terrorism recruiting, glamorization and glorification of terrorism, child pornography, and the non-consensual distribution of intimate images. And so they've proposed this as their measure to fix that, which is to have a tool by which that content can be taken down and taken down relatively quickly. Now, as with so many things that this government has done related to the internet, they have done so in a manner that really shows callous disregard, in my view, to charter rights, because all of those things, as gross as some of those are, and most of those are, they do engage charter rights. And my main problem with this particular proposal is that the way that they've structured it is to put the censorship obligation on the platforms and to build a system that hugely incentivizes just taking it all down. So there's a significant difference between what's sometimes called awful but lawful and unlawful content. And the courts have been struggling with drawing that line for a very long time. But the system that they're setting up requires online service providers like Twitter, like YouTube, like Facebook, to make those decisions within 24 hours. And if they don't do it right, according to some data commissioner, some bureaucrat in Ottawa, they can be subject to significant penalties. So of course, what are they gonna do? They're just gonna take it all down. And some of these things are relatively clear, but others are harder to determine. And again, we're dealing with some pretty gross content. So an image of somebody who's 21 might appear to be 17, but is in fact 21. So something that's completely lawful for a site to publish related to a professional model. But if somebody perceives that person to be 17, they can issue a takedown request, and the default is going to be that it's going to come down, even if it's completely lawful. And then we get into more challenging discussions, and I think more problematic in terms of our general discourse, about what is terrorism content. So is a post on the internet calling to organize a protest, is that terrorism content? Somebody saying burn it all down in connection with the reaction to the discovery of unmarked graves at residential schools, is that advocating terrorism? Or is that just hyperbole and part of the discussion? Somebody saying burn the system down lawfully. And so there's this whole mechanism that's being built, backed up by an enormous, what I expect will be an enormous bureaucracy in Ottawa that will employ a huge number of people who will not care a whole lot about charter rights and freedoms, will have kind of a bloodlust to levy penalties against what they characterize as internet giants. And the ultimate tool that they wield is the ability to change our internet, which is to remove sites from being able to be accessed within Canada. So not just a page, not just a particular video that's problematic, but entire websites and entire services. And in my view, this is going after a significant problem, but with a sledgehammer rather than a scalpel. And I do think that I could probably write in a couple pages the solution to this by amending our criminal code, rather than creating an enormous bureaucracy in Ottawa that will essentially be the speech police.
So, David, if we boil this down to the average person who uses the internet is now saying, what the heck is going on? Could this apply to me? Could this apply to me now? Could this apply to me in the future? What's the answer?
Well, I think the easiest answer to that is yes, it will apply to just about everybody, because it's going to limit all Canadians' access to lawful content on the internet, because the government is going to essentially force service providers to delete content that Canadian residents have a legal and constitutional right to review.
How do you know what that content is if you're the average person? Is this a moving target?
Well, we're never going to know because they're not going to publish, hey, we've removed this particular link, and then provide people with access in order to scrutinize it. And that's often a problem. These sorts of things are going to happen in the shadows. So, for example, the way that it's being set up, or the way that it's being proposed, is that the person who published the content won't get notice of the fact that somebody has objected to it and says it's going to be taken down. Now, some of the categories of content is absolutely disgusting stuff. We're talking about things that might be or are child sexual abuse materials and the non-consensual distribution of intimate images. But the challenge is that at the internet service provider end of things, or the internet company end of things, they have no idea what the context of that particular posting is. So in order for something to be an illegal, non-consensually distributed intimate image, you have to determine whether or not the person had a reasonable expectation of privacy at the time the image was made and after the fact. And if you think that somebody working essentially in a call center reviewing complaints is going to ever have the time to inquire into that, the easiest thing is always going to be to take it down. But what gets more problematic is when you move into kind of the things related to social cohesion, as you said, or terrorism content, that legitimate political speech can look like that, and it can simply be taken down.
So let me ask you this. Why the Ministry of Heritage? Isn't that strange?
I have no idea why. It's absolutely strange. I think that's completely telling, because Minister Guilbeault seems to be riding some sort of vendetta related to the internet giants, as he often says. This is something that, if it really was about illegal content on the internet, it would be under the Attorney General or the Department of Justice. Heritage is about culture. Heritage is about things like that, regulating broadcasting. But he has somehow pulled into his portfolio and his sphere of influence anything related to online communication.
Oh, so are the opposition parties then doing enough to challenge all of this? And what do you suggest the average person do, if the average person can do anything?
Well, certainly. So at this stage, so we don't have a bill that's been proposed. We knew this was coming for quite some time, and so what they have launched is a discussion paper, which is, in my view, a complete fiction. So what they have launched is a discussion about what they intend to do in the fall. And so they launched this while Parliament was not sitting. Parliament is off for the summer vacation.
Right.
And so there's no bill to be scrutinized, but there is a detailed plan to look at. And so I think if Parliament resumes, and I don't expect that they will, I expect we're going to have an election, this should become a ballot box question. This should be the general approach of Minister Guilbeault in particular, but also this government in general, to the internet should be something that should be in people's minds related to when they go to the ballot box. And I would be, I suppose the optimist in me suggests that Guilbeault will never be given heritage ministry portfolio in a new government if the Trudeau government is reelected. But those are a whole bunch of what ifs. And so I think we should be paying attention to this. We should be making noise. We do have up until September 25 to put in comments on it. And I would strongly encourage people to put in comments on it, because I think it becomes politically hard for a piece of junk like this to be passed if the comments that they receive are unanimous in condemnation and saying, look, there absolutely is stuff that is illegal and should be taken down off the internet. The Supreme Court of Canada has determined
exactly
that when you look at all the balancing in our charter, that this is legitimately illegal in Canada. But judges should make that call, and they should order it to be taken down, and it should be taken down right away. We don't have to create a multi-million dollar bureaucracy in Ottawa that is incentivized to remove kind of everything that's in the gray areas. Judges are
understood,
dealing with the gray areas and drawing the lines and determining where those lines
okay.
are.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.